With the latest in agriculture news from across the state and the country, it's Farm City Newsday. And here's your host, Sabrina Hill.
Good morning. Thanks for joining us this morning for your agriculture news. Today is Wednesday, August 16th. Coming up in today's show, how are farmers feeling about President Donald Trump? And why knowing soil texture is important. But first, here's Taylor Hillman.
As more millennials enter the marketplace, we're continuing to see an increase in natural and organic marketing. Chairman and CEO of Taylor Farms, Bruce Taylor, told us about an experience where the organic push actually created a supply chain problem.
In partnership with Costco, we developed a Mediterranean organic chopped salad. Chopped salad's been a really popular category. So we introduced our first organic chopped salad. Well, this one has organic feta cheese in it. And it sold so well at Costco, we ran ourselves out of organic feta cheese. And we're searching the world for more organic feta cheese. So seriously, we sold ourselves out of our worldwide supply.
Taylor said those trends drive production changes.
And that's the beauty of the capitalist free market system, right? We'll pay enough money for organic feta cheese that someone will start making more of it, right? And so that's where you use the market as a signal for supply and demand. And we'll solve that problem over time.
I'm Taylor Hillman for AgNet West Radio Network.
A Californian is among six junior Holstein members given the highest honor at the 2017 National Holstein Convention in Bellevue, Washington. Holstein Association USA recognizes 17 to 21-year-old junior members who have excelled in preparing for their life's work while contributing to local and state Holstein activities. At the recent 2017 National Holstein Convention in Bellevue, six young people were bestowed the title of Distinguished Junior Member for their commitment to excellence in the Holstein breed and dairy industry. This year's winners are Tony Lopez of Gustine, Douglas Boop of Millmont, Pennsylvania, Emily Irwin from Belvedere, Illinois, Carly Kroll of Lake Mills, Wisconsin, Laura Lusher from Barnville, Pennsylvania, and Austin Schmidt from Rice, Minnesota. The Holstein Association has presented the Distinguished Junior Member Award since 1922. Winner Austin Schmidt shares this.
With the things I've accomplished already, that I know I can do a lot more, and I know I can impact the Holstein breed in the future and our association.
The winners are selected based on an application and interview process. The prestigious honor is typically a springboard into a successful dairy industry career. 2017 winner Laura Lesher tells us more.
Having this honor, it means a lot in the Holstein Association, and people will recognize it, and they will have a big appreciation for myself.
And the winners all have big plans for after college.
I plan to either go back and return home to our farm and be the fourth generation to farm that land and take care of the cows, or else work somewhere in the nutrition area. But I think eventually I'll get home, and I can't stay away from the cows that long.
You can visit www.holsteinusa.com for more information. While some polls say President Trump's support base has begun to slip, a new Farm Futures survey shows a majority of farmers, 55%, would give Trump an A or B if they were to assign a grade to him on domestic issues. 26% would give him a C. The survey found that farmers seem to be mostly okay with Trump's work on domestic issues. A slightly smaller number at 49% would give Trump an A or B on agricultural issues. The survey found producers seriously worried about the new farm bill. 76% are worried the farm bill won't provide an adequate safety net for their farms. 39% of farmers surveyed listed the new farm bill as their number one business priority. 23% listed tax reform as their number one priority, while 12% listed cutting back on government spending, 8% selected increasing infrastructure spending as their top priority, and regulatory reform was chosen by only 5% of respondents. 58% of farmers don't expect Congress to approve spending money for infrastructure improvements over the next year. 86% of farmers say the president's attempts to decrease regulations are a good thing for their farms. The U.S. cotton crop could be the biggest one in 11 years. Gary Crawford has more.
The Agriculture Department's first forecast for the U.S. cotton crop based on actual farmer and field surveys puts this year's production at
20.5 million bales. That's the highest since 2006.
And USDA's chief economist Rob Johansson says it's about 1.75 million bales larger than what many analysts had expected, and 1.5 million more than USDA's July forecast. Right after USDA put out its new forecast Thursday, cotton futures fell about 4%, not just on the U.S. number, but on USDA's projection of an almost 7.5 million bale increase in foreign cotton production. However, Johansson says on a global scale,
we're seeing global growth, economic growth improve. So we are seeing an increase in cotton usage globally.
And despite more production, world stocks will end the new marketing year about where they will be at the end of this one. U.S. stocks could grow, though, by 3 million bales, but Johansson says for now USDA is sticking with its previous average price forecast, 61 cents a pound, 7 cents less, though, than this past season's price. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
This is Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. I'm your host, Sabrina Hill. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
It's time to rethink what you know about clean American propane and what it can do for your operation. Want efficient, reliable power independent of the grid? Propane can do that. Power for EPA-compliant engines without all the extra fluids and filters? Propane can do that. Eliminate fuel theft. Lower hourly fuel costs. Reduce downtime. Propane can do all of that. Discover all the things propane can do on your farm at propanecandothat.com.
AgNet West Radio Network.
The House Budget Committee has voted 22-14 along party lines.
Your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. AgNet West's team of Sabrina Hill.
As crews continue to fight the Detweiler fire in Mariposa County.
Brian German.
Weedy rice has been a growing concern for California farmers.
And myself, Taylor Hillman. Join us every day to stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from AgNet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
Okay, Mike is calling from Davenport. Go ahead, Mike. You're on Soil Talk.
The engine isn't performing like it should, and I'm wondering what's going on.
All right, couple of questions, Mike. Do you have high porosity in aggregates? Is there a porous medium for gas exchange?
I don't know.
Well, hey, look, Mike, if you want performance, you got to find out if it's good under the hood, huh?
Okay, how?
Stop by your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today, Mike. They can help you supercharge your soil and get that engine cranking it out for you.
Hey, we're out of time, Mike. Hey, thanks for your call. Gotta go. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Soil Talk.
Find out what you can do to maximize your farm's production engine. It's soil. Through soil health management systems, you can lower input costs, increase yields, and drought protect your farm. Stop by your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today. Brought to you by NRCS and this radio station.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join the more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Your Beef Checkoff does all kinds of things to help make sure consumers feel good about buying beef, like researching the health benefits of beef and sharing this news with healthcare professionals, or discovering new lean cuts of beef like the Denver cut steak, which fits an active lifestyle, or sharing the good news about these new beef products and cuts with chefs, grocers, and consumers. Get to know your checkoff and start sharing your views at mybeefcheckoff.com. Paid for by the Beef Checkoff.
Welcome back to Farm City Newsday by AgNet West. And now for the Naval Orange Worm Degree Day Report for Pistachios, sponsored by Dow AgroSciences and Intrepid Edge Insecticide. Degree days are determined using the calculator at the UC IPM website. All locations use CMIS weather stations. As of August 13th, the degree day total for Denair, 2,377. That's up 144 for the last 7 days. For Merced, 2,338. That's up 148. Degree days for Fireball, 2,632. That's up 163 in the last week. For Pinoche, 2,332. That's up 148 in the last week. Degree days for Tranquility, 2,877. That's up 177. For Parlier, 2,828. That's up 173. 5 points, 2,998. That's up 179 in the last week. For Coalinga, 2,922. That's up 191 in the last week. Degree days for Stratford, 2,838. That's up 177 in the last week. The total for Delano, 2,731. That's up 169 in the last week. Blackwell's Corner, 2,764. That's up 178. Lost Hills, 2,987. That's up 183 in the last week. Shafter, 2,821. That's up 172. And for Arvin, 3,121. That's up 201. NOW Degree Day reports are sponsored by Dow AgroSciences and Intrepid Edge Insecticide. This report, as well as past reports, can also be found on our website, agnetwest.com. Here's Brian German.
The application deadline is approaching for both the Achievement and the Excellence Awards offered by the Young Farmers and Ranchers Program. Lindsay Liebig, director of the Young Farmers and Ranchers and the Leadership Farm Bureau programs, explains the difference between the Achievement Award and the Excellence Award.
The award focuses on those deriving the majority of their income from production agriculture. The Excellence Award rewards those that are participating and working within the agricultural community, but not necessarily receiving the production risk by being on farm production.
It's an open application process that is available to any Young Farmer and Rancher member, as well as any Young Farmer and Rancher committee. Liebig noted when applications are due, as well as when the winners will be announced.
Applications are due on August 31st, and the winner will be selected and announced in the September-October timeframe. They will actually be awarded and be recognized on stage at the California Farm Bureau annual meeting, December 3rd through 6th in Orange County.
I'm Brian German for Agnet West.
Well, in today's livestock news, trade officials from the United States, Mexico, and Canada will open their first round of meetings today, August 16th, aimed at renegotiating the North America Free Trade Agreement, or NAFTA. Joe Shealy reports that the top NAFTA priority for the red meat industry is to preserve full market access.
In this U.S. Meat Export Federation report, Senior Vice President for Trade Access Thad Lively discusses the NAFTA renegotiation talks, where he says the top priority for the red meat industry is to preserve duty-free, barrier-free access for U.S. products entering Canada and Mexico.
NAFTA has been hugely significant to the red meat industry here in the U.S., eliminating those borders, which is effectively what NAFTA did for trade in North America. Most of us in this industry would say is the way we ought to move as we go forward on trade. So it's hard to find a lot that we could do in this NAFTA renegotiation process that would improve our situation today. Currently, we don't face barriers at either of our borders. We've got good open communication on virtually every aspect of the meat trade, very close working relationships at the commercial level and at the governmental level. So our objective for NAFTA is to stay where we are.
Even so, any agreement that's a quarter century old has areas that could use improvement.
The NAFTA agreement itself has a section, a chapter that's devoted to health-related regulations and requirements that are in effect. But it was written a long time ago, and thinking about how to deal with these kinds of health-related restrictions has evolved a long way since the early 90s. So that would be one area that we have asked the government to focus on, and I think they've heard us loud and clear on that. Another one, which is for the future, is e-commerce. And as consumers in Mexico and Canada start to use e-commerce platforms to buy directly from the U.S., we don't want to see those exports from the United States to our other two NAFTA partners facing barriers at the border.
For more information, please visit usmef.org. For the U.S. Meat Export Federation, I'm Joe Shealy.
Thanks, Joe. And U.S. beef products are struggling to gain traction following a return to China after that 14-year ban. Bloomberg is reporting that U.S. cuts of beef are largely unnoticeable in China's meat aisles. China, the world's largest pork producer and consumer, has seen beef demand climb as incomes increase, and that's prompted people to spend on new and varied types of food. Imports are predicted to climb to 950,000 metric tons this year from 26,000 tons back in 2003, according to USDA. But out of 600,000 head of cattle slaughtered in the U.S. each week, only about 1,600 can meet Chinese specifications. Currently, what's being exported to China is processed into small strips for stir-fried dishes. But a Rabobank analyst says U.S. beef trade with China will grow gradually. I'm Randall Wiseman for Agnet West. AgriView with Ever Greiner is next.
Well, in the beginning, they were known as crop dusters. You know what that is. The pilot who applies weed and bug-killing chemicals to crops from a small airplane. Now, in the beginning, it was considered a very dangerous occupation. But technology, mostly applied to the aircraft, slowly changed all that. The pilots became known as aerial applicators. Well, the name didn't change much. Didn't take away all the danger, but it did make the job sound safer. And like everything else in agriculture, the task of applying chemicals to crops from the air has changed. It's more precise, more effective, and a lot less dangerous today. More and more of the job is being done with drones. No pilot required. But there are strict regulations that do not apply to a pilot in the cockpit. You know, FAA regulations. And that's AgriView for today. Everett Griner, AgNet West.
In today's interview segment, we catch up with the NRCS on the efforts between California farmers and conservation organizations to help a protected bird. Here's the interview.
Jesse Bain, I'm an area biologist for NRCS out of the Fresno area office for Area 3.
So we wanted to talk today about the tricolored blackbird, and I've reported on this before and how important it is that there's this relationship built between NRCS, Audubon, California, and dairy around Central California to help protect this bird. But can we start off with discussing a little bit about what the initial problem was?
So tricolored blackbird is a colonial nesting bird. It nests in these large groups. It used to nest historically in wetlands of the valley. Since those wetlands have been removed, now the bird has moved into silage fields, which have kind of taken the place of where many of those wetlands were. And so there's kind of a, like those birds are actually nesting in the silage, and their nesting cycle overlaps with the harvest time. So those birds are on their nest when dairymen need to go in and harvest their fields, or landowners need to harvest their fields for a usable product. Their nesting cycle overlaps too much, where you can't just wait the bird out to when they finish nesting. It's that silage degrades over time. And so that's why, there's been that conflict. So these birds are really concentrated into these silage fields, like mainly triticale is like the largest plant that they really seem to be drawn to in the silage. And those birds have kind of, with that impact of the harvesting kind of overlapping their nesting cycle, they've kind of lost their numbers have dropped fairly steadily over the past few years, past 100 years, I guess.
Okay. So yeah. Then now in just the last, was it 4 or 5 years ago, there was this partnership that was built.
Correct. And so that's where NRCS started in 2012 with the tricolored blackbird work program, trying to incentivize landowners to defer silage, defer harvest until the birds had finished nesting. And this program was prior to us coming to the table. California Department of Fish and Wildlife and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service had ran similar programs. They didn't have funds, and so NRCS kind of came to the table with that program. And then, most recently, we've had our partners come in and propose, getting funding specific for this program, which was Audubon California, Western United, Dairy Care, Sustainable Conservation, and Farm Bureau have came to the table, to ask for funds, matching funds to help producers to ensure those funds are available. And that was a 5-year grant.
What kind of things are those funds used for?
So primarily the funds are used for forage harvest delay. So allowing the birds to finish their nesting cycle in the fields. There also is a restoration side, trying to develop wetlands offsite of farms, on duck clubs or, NRCS easements, primarily on NRCS easements where we're trying to develop wetland habitat that the birds historically used to try and draw the birds away from the dairies. And so that way the birds, there is no conflict with the producer. It's just the birds are using natural habitat, away from the silage field. So there's no conflict for either landowners, like the landowners with the easement or the landowner or the producer.
Because this could be a problem for producers as well, because they do need to keep their businesses running.
Correct. Yeah. And so, and you know, with the program, what we see is some landowners are hit harder than others. So, you know, it's definitely an impact to any farmer that has the bird's nest in their silage field, because that's, that's lost silage. You know, that's lost, you know, that's a crop that can't be harvested until those birds finish up and finish nesting. And so the birds have been protected under the Migratory Bird Treaty Act, and, you know, for years, but they've also recently had state protection. And so, you know, there's these delays that have to occur to avoid, you know, having conflict with any of the regulations, but also to, you know, help the birds rebound. And so, you know, some landowners have 10 acres that the birds nest in, and some have, you know, over 150 acres. And, you know, that's a considerable burden for these producers. And so that's where the RCPP program tries to offset that cost. It doesn't pay 100% of the silage lost. It pays, you know, it's a cost assistance program. So it's trying to incentivize landowners to participate and to avoid harvesting the birds.
And there has been an increase in the bird population over the last 4 years or so. Is that right?
Yes, it's we're starting to see an increase. I don't know what the new survey has, but there seems to be a trend of going up. And one thing that, you know, we've seen with the program is, like, you know, so the past few years, last year we kind of had lower numbers in the silage fields. But this year we had about 75,000 blackbirds in the silage fields that we were able to work with the producers on. So we've seen numbers in the program as we've worked with the silage, you know, seeing numbers increase. But the triennial survey, I'm not sure what the numbers for this year are, so I can't say that it's definitely increased.
So I know that our dairy producers are really educated on this, but let's say that there's somebody out there who doesn't know what to look for the tricolored blackbird, doesn't know what to check for. What should they be doing out in their silage fields?
So when they're out driving around the fields, you know, if they see large flocks of blackbirds, especially starting in March, start really watching, you know, watching the birds, you know, are they flying over their fields? You know, what are the birds kind of doing, you know, because a lot of the dairies will have blackbirds on them, you know, in the winter months. But when you start seeing them over your fields, like over the silage and stuff, and really, in these large black, you know, I mean, huge groups, you know, at least 500, you know, a lot of times 200 to 500 birds, you know, it's going to be a good sized group, but, you know, a lot of times in the spring months, you'll see thousands. So, you know, it's definitely different than your typical red winged blackbird in the field. You know, so a lot of times, you know, most dairies have red winged blackbirds nesting in silage. And so these are, those are more of a solitary nester, where the tricolor is this colonial nester. So they nest in these large groups. And so they take up a lot of area, but you'll see these big flights of birds. If you start seeing anything, if a producer sees anything like that, they should contact NRCS or Audubon or or Western United or any one of the partners, you know, for assistance. Okay. I always encourage landowners, if they're unsure of what they have, you know, we're happy to come out and provide assistance. You know, if it's, you know, I've been out to fields that had, you know, a lot of red-winged blackbirds in them. And, you know, by the numbers that they, you know, had, you know, I would have thought that, you know, just talking on the phone, I thought it was tricolors. And then we go out there and it was red wing. So it was not a problem for the producer, but it was a good thing to go check. You know, 'cause the numbers that they were seeing, you know, it made sense. And so, you know, sometimes, you know, I'm happy to do site visits, just to help try to see what they have, you know, 'cause sometimes it is a little difficult to to see that, you know, the difference between the two birds.
Especially if you're not overly familiar with the birds.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, you know, like dairymen are focused on, you know, their dairy, you know, and so, I mean, that's, you know, that's where they're, you know, that's their focus. And, you know, and so like getting, you know, somebody who's a little more familiar with birds, you know, helps sometimes.
And it's as easy as making a phone call to the NRCS office.
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Well, that is everything that I had for you, but I'm wondering if I left anything out or is there anything else you think our listeners should know?
I think that's it. Yeah, it's so our program will be occur again next year in 2018. We, you know, we have had very good success. You know, our producers, you know, landowners have been doing a fantastic job. We've been very successful with the program, and we've had just a great group of producers to work with. And you know, we really, you know, it's very enjoyable to learn about the operations and then also to kind of teach a little bit about tricolored blackbirds.
Thank you so much for taking a few minutes out of your day, Jesse. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Sabrina.
This is Farm City News Day by AgNet West. We will be back in just a moment with more agriculture news.
It's time to rethink what you know about clean American propane and what it can do for your operation. Want efficient, reliable power independent of the grid? Propane can do that. Power for EPA-compliant engines without all the extra fluids and filters? Propane can do that. Eliminate fuel theft. Lower hourly fuel costs. Reduce downtime. Propane can do all of that. Discover all the things propane can do on your farm at propanecandothat.com.
AgNet West Radio Network.
The House Budget Committee has voted 22-14 along party lines.
Your trusted agriculture news provider for the state of California. AgNet West's team of Sabrina Hill.
As crews continue to fight the Detweiler fire in Mariposa County.
Brian German.
Weedy rice has been a growing concern for California farmers.
And myself, Taylor Hillman. Join us every day to stay up to date with the latest agriculture news from AgNet West Radio Network and online at agnetwest.com.
Okay, Mike is calling from Davenport. Go ahead, Mike. You're on Soil Talk.
Yeah, guys. The engine isn't performing like it should, and I'm wondering what's going on.
All right, couple of questions, Mike. Do you have high porosity in aggregates? Is there a porous medium for gas exchange?
I don't know.
Well, hey, look, Mike, if you want performance, you got to find out if it's good under the hood, huh?
Okay, how?
Stop by your local USDA Natural Resources Conservation Service office today, Mike. They can help you supercharge your soil and get that engine cranking it out for you.
Hey, we're out of time, Mike. Hey, thanks for your call. Gotta go. Thanks, everyone, for listening to Soil Talk.
Find out what you can do to maximize your farm's production engine. It's soil. Through soil health management systems, you can lower input costs, increase yields, and drought protect your farm. Stop by your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office today. Brought to you by NRCS and this radio station.
The California Association of Food Banks Farm to Family Program helps growers and packers recoup costs for products that may otherwise go unused. The program takes secondary products or excess fruits and vegetables from the field to your local food bank and beyond. Many growers and packers receive reimbursement for picking and pack-out costs in addition to receiving a California state tax credit. Join more than 100 growers and packers who already participate in Farm to Family. Visit cafoodbanks.org to learn more. That's cafoodbanks.org. Farm to Family. Good for families, good for farmers.
Welcome back to Farm City News Day by AgNet West. And now the agriculture stories you'll want to know today. U.S. rice growers are going to have a smaller crop this year, but the market situation for that crop will be improved. Gary Crawford has more.
Unlike the fairly soft price prospects for corn and soybeans and such, there is rice.
This is one of the areas where we see a little bit of support.
Agriculture Department Outlook Board Chairman Seth Meyer in USDA's latest crop production report for rice compared to the July report.
We got a trim in yields, and that took production down from our prior estimate about 4.8 million hundredweight.
So, rice production is expected to be only 186.5 million hundredweight. That's almost 38 million less than this past season's crop, so that's adding price support.
And we also have seen some countries, Bangladesh and Sri Lanka, come come into the global market, and that supported Asian rice prices. So there's been a bit of support for rice overall.
And so rice growers could see some better prices for this new crop. The all rice average price expected to be about $12.70 a hundredweight. That's 40 cents more than was expected last month, $2.40 higher than this past season. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Washington.
There were some slight improvements in corn condition, Stephanie Ho reports.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says there has been an overall improvement in corn condition the week ending August 13th.
That crop is now rated 62% good to excellent. That's up 2 points from a week ago. And 12% very poor to poor, that is down a point.
At the same time, he says this year's ratings have not caught up to last year's.
At this time, we were 74% good to excellent and 7% very poor to poor.
Meanwhile, due to favorable weather, he says Nebraska, North Dakota, and South Dakota all have seen decreases in the amount of corn rated very poor to poor.
These late rains and cooler weather are helping the corn crop in the Western Corn Belt.
51% of the corn has reached the dough stage nationwide, while 16% is dented. This is Stephanie Ho for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
For more on any of the stories you've heard here this morning, visit our website at agnetwest.com. You can also find us on Twitter at agnetwest or myself at Sabrina W. Hill. This has been Farm City News Day by Agnet West, and I am your host, Sabrina Hill. Have a wonderful day.